Yeah, it's First Take, your take on this Tuesday, July 14th. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Want to let you know that all guests today appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We've got a great show planned. Great question that we're asking you right off the top. Which sport has the best chance to crown a champion? Is it the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, or college football? You can join the conversation, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also tweet me at Kev Connors, ESPN. My name is Kevin Connors, and today for Jason Fitz, we're going to discuss the Washington NFL franchise and the name change that they should make immediately. We'll also get into Dak Steele and talk about the NBA and the biggest name yet to test positive for COVID-19. But first, your SportsCenter headlines. The Philadelphia Eagles are bringing back veteran offensive lineman Jason Peters on a one-year contract. $3 million in guarantees, according to our Adam Schefter. Peters is 38. He's a nine-time NFL Pro Bowler. And the Tennessee Titans are not expected to reach a long-term deal with star back Derrick Henry by Wednesday's deadline for franchise players. Henry led the NFL in rushing last season. By the way, the free agent running back class for next season now includes Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, and James Conner. Loaded. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Well, the big news in the NBA right now, Russell Westbrook testing positive for COVID-19. He announced the news on Monday on social media, said he was tested before leaving for the bubble, that he's feeling fine, and of course the hope is that he's ready to go at some point soon. I'm willing to bet Russ has been in game shape since he came out of the womb, so if I'm a Rockets fan, I'm not terribly worried about the condition that he'll be in, but obviously all hopes are that Russ gets well soon. On the heels of that, Stephen A., Max, and Molly debated the question today. How concerned are you that the NBA will not finish its season?
I'm concerned, but it's not because of the bubble. It's because of the government in Florida and how they've been handling things and how loosey-goosey they've been with this. Max has lamented this, so have I, on many, many occasions over the last several weeks as we've seen the numbers spike considerably. You got an excess of 35 states whose numbers have spiked, and Florida's near the top of the list. Of course, California, Arizona, Texas are definitely in the mix as well as other states, but the bottom line is Florida, with its governor, DeSantis, has, you know, I don't think anybody could deny that they've been negligent in all of this. The fact is they've opened, they shut down things a little bit too late. They opened things up considerably too soon. And considering that the numbers are what they are, but you've got a state talking about how we're going to push to get kids back in school, for crying out loud, scheduled for next month, if I remember correctly.
So Shannon,
seems kind of crazy, because you've got to wonder how that's going to impact things. I think once you're in the bubble, you're pretty safe unless guys violate it, which some have, although they tried to say accidentally. The bottom line is I told y'all that bubble wasn't going to be honored by everybody, and we all knew that it was going to go down that way. That's certainly not the case with Russell Westbrook. I mean, I don't know whether he's in Houston or L.A., but both situations have had spike in numbers, and then you've got to consider the effect that ultimately it could have on him and other players. You just don't know, and that would be the reason my concern. My concern is not the bubble itself, because I think that the NBA has done a tremendous job thus far. It's not perfect, but they've done a tremendous job. And I think that ultimately, once you're in the bubble, if you honor the stipulations that come with it, you should be fine. It's just that everything surrounding it on the outside, including in some part of Disney World, if we're being real about it, there is cause for concern at the very least. I'd be remiss in neglecting to mention that.
Yeah, I co-sign, Stephen A., what you just said. I would add that the bubble, look, playing basketball, there's a higher risk of the spread of infection, of course. But in the bubble, actually, is safer than anywhere else, I would think, to play basketball. Once you accept the risk of playing basketball, because there's constant testing. There's not a lot of stuff coming in and out. I mean, sometimes there will be, I'm sure, but packages, whatever else. But there's, for the most part, the food has to come from somewhere, everything. But for the most part, there's less coming in and out of that environment than other environments players or people would likely be in. And because of the testing, they will quickly identify the virus and then try to isolate it by quarantining the person, finding out, you know, trace contact, all that kind of stuff. So from that point of view, I don't think it's a bubble issue where the bubble is the problem here. I'd also add that Westbrook getting it now is not good, obviously, for the Rockets right now. But and I want to be very clear about this. It's a very bad idea to try to get coronavirus. I mean, but that was a natural kind of rational reaction when first hearing about it. Oh, wait a minute. The mortality rate is something on, you know, within flu range, whether it's 3 times or 5 times or 10 times. It seemed like people thought that a 1% or whatever it was mortality rate was within acceptable risk because there was also a chance for a kind of asymptomatic response. So I'll say this, bad idea to try to get coronavirus. You don't want your players to get it, of course. And you hope that Westbrook has a speedy and healthy recovery. That said, assuming he's in the vast majority of people who do, then especially young, healthy people, then in fact the timing of this works out for his team. You would rather someone get it now than in the middle of the playoffs, for example. It is likely that Russell Westbrook will be available for the Rockets after this, after he recovers, you know, knock wood, for the duration. So the timing is actually kind of good for the Rockets. But Stephen A., I have to say, I've always been cautiously optimistic that the NBA will finish its season and crown a champion. But I remain just that, cautiously optimistic. Because if there is some kind of big viral spread suddenly within the bubble, what happens at that point? Or if someone gets sick and gets worse, how is that going to make people react to this very idea of carrying on a sporting league in the face of a pandemic? I remain cautiously optimistic that the NBA will crown a champ.
Well, I can't knock you for that, Max. I mean, I would classify myself as that as well, maybe a little bit more than cautiously, but definitely the word cautiously is apropos. There's no denying that considering the times that we're living in. The other thing that I would say to be concerned about is that if you listen to a couple of GMs that have spoken about this issue publicly, they talked about how the potential lingering effects of, you know, involving your lungs or cardiac health. And when we think about Westbrook, what do we think about? We think about it's not just the phenomenal athleticism that comes along with him. It's that he's high energy. He's 100 miles per hour all the time. And he's always considered to be one of those individuals that's in the best shape. One of his greatest weapons outside of his athleticism is his motor. The fact that he's constantly in attack mode and he never relents. So if his conditioning is compromised in any way because of lung or cardiac issues, and that lingers, that could definitely be problematic itself.
All right, so a good start to the show and good conversation by Stephen A. and Max. By the way, it is First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you, which sport has the best chance to crown a champion? Is it the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, or college football? 888-SAY-ESPN. I think we need to get used to hearing about things like this, difficult as it is. I think we have to understand big names are going to test positive. Big names are going to opt out in sports. We've seen it in the NBA, obviously, Major League Baseball. It's going to happen in the NFL. I think we need to understand that some guys are going to try to sneak outside the bubble to get a fribble, pick up some Zaxby's takeout, make dumb decisions that are going to cost them some time. I think we need to prepare for a situation where teams can't compete like we've seen in Major League Soccer. I think leagues need to be nimble when that happens. What happens if a team can't play? Okay, that game is viewed as a forfeit. Move on. What happens if a guy contracts COVID-19? We need to make sure that he's taken care of, she's taken care of. give them the best possible medical attention that we can, and then make sure that the business of the sport goes on. Because with all the money that's put into this, and with all the thought process that's been put behind it in all these leagues, the NBA is going to finish this season. The NBA is going to crown a champion this year. I'm not sure I can say it about any of the other sports right now, not saying that I can't, but the NBA is going to crown a champion. That's going to happen. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Tim McMahon's our ESPN NBA reporter. He joins us now. Tim, we appreciate the time. Kevin Connor's in today for Jason Fitz. Let's start here. What more can you tell us about Russ?
Yeah, I mean, really, I think that his post said it all. He tested positive for coronavirus. He is quarantining, feeling well. He is working out, but you have to have two negative tests before you can travel to Orlando and get in the NBA bubble. And then you have to have three negative tests once you get in the bubble before you can resume team activities, before you'd be cleared to practice with the Rockets. So, obviously the Rockets, as Mike D'Antoni said, they are optimistic that they'll get Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Luke Mbamute to Orlando sooner than later. They hope that's this week, but these are situations that it's not in the Rockets' control. It's not in the players' control. And once they get there, they will have to quarantine for, hopefully a few days. Hopefully there's no further complications. And, and really for the Rockets, they're looking at the 8-game seeding schedule as a chance to kind of ramp up to the playoffs. Their goal is to be, firing at a peak level once the playoffs start. And really, that probably would have been the goal regardless, but especially with these circumstances, it has to be, because, these guys are missing valuable practice time, and the training camp that Mike D'Antoni was hoping to be able to have for a team that pretty drastically shifted its philosophy midseason, obviously that's been compromised.
We're chatting with ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon. All right, so Tim, Russ has announced that he has COVID-19, and we've talked about the fact that he's not in Orlando. James Harden is not in Orlando yet. Any insight on what the delay is there?
I will say that we are treating this entire situation delicately, and we will not be using sources to report any kind of positive cases for people who would prefer to keep that information private. So, James Harden wants to be in Orlando. He will get there as soon as he can. But, this is a unique time and delicate situations. And, I think the lines are pretty wide to read between. But, again, we're not going to be reporting private medical information regarding those cases.
Fair enough, and I think people can probably make their own conclusions based on that. We're chatting with Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. So let's keep it strictly to Russ then, Tim. He's by far the biggest name to test positive. He's a former MVP. Not to minimize others who have tested positive here in the process, but from what you're hearing, how was the news that Russell Westbrook tested positive received around the NBA?
Well, I think Kevin Durant would argue that he was a bigger name, and they've had that battle in the same locker room in Oklahoma City. honestly, at this point, there have been dozens of NBA players who have tested positive, so I don't think it's a situation where there are shockwaves sitting around the league anymore. I mean, I just think it's a deal where it's kind of okay. There's another player who's tested positive. You obviously, everybody's going to, wish him the best. Hope he gets healthy. Hope that he's able to get to into the bubble as soon as possible. There's no further complications. But I just think, unfortunately, we are way past the point of this being even surprising news. And he announced it yesterday, but I mean, it was known around the NBA. I mean, it's not like Russell Westbrook didn't get on the plane because he wanted to kick up his feet on his coffee table in the living room. So the announcement yesterday, I don't think necessarily sent any sort of, it wasn't something that was surprising. I'll put it to you like that.
Tim, do you have an idea, based on folks that you've spoken with inside the bubble, the level of comfort players have right now in the NBA bubble in Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, the players that I've spoken to are very comfortable. And, you know, there was some complaining early on about the quality of food. And that's, you know, I think there's been pushback on that from within the NBA. Just that, look, this is not a time where, you know, that kind of stuff goes over well. Then in the grand scheme of things, you know, these guys are staying at, you know, resort hotels, getting food delivered to their door. You know, and the NBA has created as safe as possible of an environment. And, you know, I think that at least the players that I've talked to, you know, the people in the league that I've talked to are appreciative of having this opportunity to be able to finish their season, both from a business and from a competitive standpoint.
We're chatting with ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon. Tim, you wrote a piece last week on the rift between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in Utah. Gobert, of course, for those who may not remember, was sort of the one who initially was, I guess we can say, joking around, not taking it quite as seriously. And then he sort of became the one who was, we can point back to the beginning and say, when Gobert tested positive, the NBA sort of soon thereafter shut things down, and here's where we are now. Where is that team now, Tim, in terms of its dynamic and, frankly, its comfort level with one another?
Yeah, and look, that's something that those guys have to work through. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell was, you know, Rudy Gobert was patient zero. I guess that makes Donovan Mitchell patient one, if you're going by that math, in the NBA. And Donovan, despite the fact it can't be scientifically proven, blamed Rudy for giving him coronavirus and was clearly upset about it. They went a month without speaking. You know, Donovan went 3.5 months without publicly really addressing the situation, and was pretty lukewarm once he finally did. But and there was friction between those guys going in. It was kind of typical NBA co-star stuff. A lot of it's about Rudy bitching and complaining about, you know, Donovan missing him when he's open around the rim. And, you know, that's certainly not unusual by NBA standards, but it is part of the background here. And, you know, in talking to Rudy, he was very self-aware. I think he's done a lot of reflecting, was extremely accountable. And I'm not even going to say he extended an olive branch. He extended olive trees to Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, I don't necessarily know exactly what Donovan's mind frame is, because he has chosen to be so quiet about it. I do know, though, the Jazz as a whole, you know, from the front office on down, are confident those guys can continue to be a successful duo. And, you know, that's based on the character of those guys. They don't expect them to be best friends, but they believe that they can be professionals. They can be essentially coworkers, and also they feel like they've got a very strong locker room with guys like Joe Ingles, Mike Conley, you know, Ed Davis, even though he's fallen out of the rotation, is a really respected vet whose voice carries a lot of weight. So, you know, it's obviously a delicate situation and something that they need to monitor, but they feel like they've kind of gotten through the really difficult stage of that. And again, they believe that Gobert and Mitchell can be not just a good duo for the rest of this season, but for the foreseeable future.
And you know what? If you're curious to see how it's all going to play out with Utah, you don't have to wait too long. They're the team that gets the NBA restart going in 16 days. They take on Zion and the Pelicans in that first game. Chatting with ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon. Tim, I guess some of the bigger news yesterday or in the past 48 hours, the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers are experimenting with Ben Simmons at power forward, and the early returns anyway are that he is playing very well at that position. How about that potential move? What do you think that means for Philly and its title hopes?
Yeah, I really like the move, and I think, number one, it does help their title hopes. You know, gets more shooting on the floor, which I think is absolutely critical, especially when you're running the offense through Embiid. And I think, you know, I think that this is a position change that needed to happen to really try to save what is one of the most talented duos in the league just from a fit standpoint. If Ben Simmons is playing point guard, I think that we are reaching kind of the end of the shelf life of the Simmons-Embiid partnership. I think playing him at power forward really gives it a chance. And look, Simmons is still going to be handling the ball a lot, just like Giannis handles the ball a lot for Milwaukee. But where you want him handling the ball is ripping down a rebound and pushing that thing in transition more so than facilitating a half-court offense. And I look at Ben Simmons. I think this is his natural position. I think he's going to be a unique player. I kind of look at the impact Draymond Green's been able to make with Golden State, and I look at Ben Simmons and see a 6'10", hyper-athletic version of Draymond Green, and, man, that's a pretty impactful player.
Yeah, the lines have long since been blurred on what exactly a player's role is, but you're right. I mean, the ability to have the versatility with a guy like Ben Simmons and the dynamic it could give Philadelphia will be a lot of fun to watch. Tim, I can expect a tweet any time now from Kevin Durant on the perceived slight earlier in the conversation. but listen, we appreciate the insight today. Great stuff as always, and we hope we can chat with you again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
That's ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon joining us on First Take, Your Take. We're asking you the question, which sport has the best chance to crown a champion? Is it the NBA? Is it the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, or college football? Let us know, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up next, the Red Wolves seem to be the favorite among Washington fans, but there's another potential name that is gaining steam. We will explain. We'll get into that coming up in just a bit on First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. But first, we have another full weekend of golf ahead of us, and even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash prizes don't have to be. To add to the excitement, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action with a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. It's easy to play. Just pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off on Thursday. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code FITS during this sign-up. Coming up next, the name the Washington football franchise should be considering. That's next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. We are off and rolling. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and we're simulcast on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. And we're asking you to get involved in the show. Give us a call at 888-SAY-ESPN. Which sport has the best chance to crown a champion in 2020? We'll get to the phone lines in a bit. Of course, on the heels of what's been a contentious debate about the nickname of the Washington franchise and the, in essence, forcing of Daniel Snyder's hand, because make no mistake, that's exactly what's happened here. Nike, FedEx, PepsiCo, and company said, you know what, change the name or we're pulling our ad money, and so boom, done deal, the name has been retired. What then are we going to call the Washington franchise moving forward? Let's welcome in Scott Allen, Washington Post reporter, joining us today via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time today. Kevin Connors here. Scott, what kind of a timeline is Washington looking at right now?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question, because the team has not really revealed anything about the process. I mean, on July 4th, Coach Ron Rivera said that he hoped to have a new name and logo in place by the start of the season. But by all accounts from teams and branding experts who have gone through this before, it's something that normally takes a year, if not two, to get in place with all the focus groups necessary. So for now, they've just said, you know, until they finish their review, they're going to go by the Redskins' name and I guess press releases and letterhead. But I would expect either a new name to be released by the start of the season, or them to say we're going to go with the generic term like Washington football team for a year and address this again over the offseason.
And there are so many ripples around the league to consider, of course, when you're dealing with branding of the team, with what appears in the logos, what appears on everything from tickets to other team that other teams are printing up who play Washington throughout the course of the year, merchandise sales, the Madden video game. What do they call them in the game? Is it Washington football team? Do they keep Redskins? So many ramifications here. Scott, what's the leader in the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, the leaders, and they are primarily based on what fans and even media members have floated on social media because the team hasn't said anything. What emerged as kind of the leader at first was Washington Warriors, because we at least know that Daniel Snyder likes that name, because back in 1999 when he bought the expansion rights to an Arena Football League franchise that never came to be, he had announced it was going to be called the Washington Warriors. Again, that never happened. Some other names that have been floated are the Washington Red Tails, which would honor the Tuskegee Airmen, the African-Americans who flew and broke the color barrier by flying aerial combat missions in World War II. Also, Washington Red Wolves seems to be a very popular choice among fans. I talked to a scientist who studies red wolves, which I didn't even know was a real animal, last night. Apparently it's a super endangered species, and he would be all on board with it because it might bring some more recognition to the animal.
We'll talk about that in a bit. To me, Red Tails is the by far most obvious no-brainer. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit here. We're chatting with Scott Allen, Washington Post reporter. So, Scott, how about, you know, in the stadium? You know, there are, I'm assuming that there are retired jerseys or a ring of honor or some sort of recognition of former players. What's the consensus about how the franchise views them? Any signage, any pictures, any recognition of them as players who were Washington Redskins at some point? How is the team expected to handle that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think with respect to the ring of honor, I think fortunately for the team, as it looks to spend all this money to remove the name from throughout the stadium, I think the jerseys on the Ring of Honor just have kind of a generic burgundy and white outline of a jersey with the number and then the name. But I think we also have the helmet with the Indian profile on the side that they've used basically since 1972. So you would think that those would be scrubbed as part of this process. It's not, I mean, DC, we've kind of been through this before on with their NBA team, the Washington Bullets going to the Washington Wizards in 1997. And there's not of, you know, recognition in the arena of the Bullets name. I don't think they've scrubbed all the old photos of Wes Unseld or anything, but in the case of the Redskins, I think they're going to do, you know, quite a bit to get rid of that imagery in the stadium going forward.
Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We're chatting with Scott Allen, Washington Post reporter. Scott, how is Daniel Snyder viewing this change?
Well, outside of the statement on July 3rd announcing that they were undergoing a thorough review, and then yesterday saying that he was working with Ron Rivera to, you know, come up with a new identity that fans can be proud of for 100 years. He hasn't spoken on this. So we can only kind of gather from the fact that he used the name Redskins in the press release 7 times yesterday and used the logo on the letterhead to announce that he was eventually retiring the name and logo, that he is not happy about this. I mean, it was only 7 years ago that he said he would never, and you can put that in all caps, change the name. So there hasn't been any acknowledgement on his part that he's had a change of heart, or any acknowledgement of the Native Americans who have protested and spoken out against the name over the years from him. It's just, it certainly seems that this was a financially motivated decision. He's going to change the name, but it certainly doesn't seem that he's happy about it.
Scott, I correct me if I'm wrong here. I want to attribute it to the right media outlet. I want to say that it was the Washington Post that conducted a poll just a few years ago of Native Americans in the Washington metro area, and that it was something like 9 out of 10 of them were in favor of keeping the name. Does this ring a bell at all?
Yeah, in 2016, the Washington Post did a study. It was nationwide. It wasn't just the D.C. area. There may be some other ones that were confined to the D.C. area. But it was a 26th poll of self-identifying Native Americans, and it basically reaffirmed the findings of a 2004 Annenberg Public Policy Center poll that showed that 9 out of 10 Native Americans, the terminology is tricky, were not offended by the name. I mean, if you ask somebody, it's different to ask somebody, are you offended by this name? And instead of saying, are you in favor of keeping the name? I don't think the 2016 poll, which was done by the Washington Post Polling Service, said the latter. It was that 9 out of 10 said they were not offended by the name. And that is something that the team has pointed to in years since as support for keeping the name and logo.
So the purpose of me asking that question is, has there been any pushback at all to the confirmation that the name would be retired among Native Americans? Any pushback among Native Americans that there would be the retiring of this name?
I think there has been some. I think most of the ones we've heard from since it became official yesterday was people celebrating the fact, but there certainly have been some who, there is a segment of the Native American population who says the name is not offensive and in fact would like to see the representation of their culture in sports. I mean, I think the majority who have spoken out are of the mindset that Native American imagery in any form should not be appropriated and used as mascots. But yes, there have been some, including I think it's the son of the gentleman who actually helped design the Redskins Indian head logo in 1972. I think it was a sad day for him because he's seeing the logo that his father designed be retired.
Of course, the reality is that it's happening, and we will look forward to seeing what exactly the name change will be, and hopefully sooner rather than later for many of the reasons that we've talked about here. Scott Allen from the Washington Post. Scott, we really appreciate your perspective today.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Anytime.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Coming up, which sport has the best chance to crown a champion? We'll get to the phone lines when we come back, and I will tell you why Red Tails is a no-brainer for me when it comes to Washington. That's coming up next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. Got some breaking news from the NFL. Adam Schefter is reporting it, and man, Kansas City Chiefs just backing up the Brinks truck and pulling out bags, huh? $500 million Patrick Mahomes earlier this month. Today, D-tackle Chris Jones gets a new 4-year extension worth $60 million guaranteed. Could be worth more than $80 million when it's all said and done. So the Chiefs taking care of business in the NFL offseason. We were chatting before we went to break about the future of the new Washington football franchise, the new name that they're considering there in Washington. And you know what? For me, once vilified owner Daniel Snyder could come out of this smelling like a rose, he has an opportunity to put forth a nickname that would be a home run across the board and would be universally applauded. Go with the nickname Red Tails. That could be as celebrated as any in the NFL, as any in professional sports. I mean, who would be opposed to a name that honors the Tuskegee Airmen, the soldiers who often painted their plane tails crimson, thus Red Tails, a nickname that honors the first black aviators in the U.S. Army Air Corps, served in World War II, posted an incredible battle record. I mean, sometimes the answer is right there in front of your face. And considering Red Wolves, I guess, that inspire you at all? You fired up to get any Red Wolves merchandise? I'm all about animals, but are we that in favor of promoting the endangered species that is the Red Wolves? How about Red Tails? How sick would the merchandise be for Red Tails? How great would it be to honor a distinguished group who, for God's sakes, World War II was 20 years before the Civil Rights Movement? You think those Tuskegee Airmen were a special bunch? You think there's any downside in honoring them? The upside is enormous. You're honoring one of the bravest distinguished groups of Americans of all time. You have an owner who has been vilified in the past for having a franchise who many believe to be having a nickname that was insensitive, offensive. This is an opportunity to do a complete 180. Vinny Serrato, former Washington executive on Golic and Wingo this morning, saying Daniel Snyder will use this name change to get the property he wants.
He'll use it as a chip to be able to get that land where RFK was, you know, to change the name. I would bet that it's somewhere involved in there that the name change is also, you know, helping him get the piece of property that he really probably wants.
Maybe. Daniel Snyder is an extremely successful businessman. He's been opposed to doing this all along for whatever his reasons are. But for me, when you have an opportunity to do a 180, some people feel he's an obtuse owner. Some people feel the name is outdated at best, deeply offensive at worst. And again, you have an opportunity to say, you know what? We're accepting that. And not just that. We're going to go ahead and honor a group who was so far ahead of its time. And we're still keeping the relative integrity of what the franchise and its branding and its signage is all about. But you go ahead and you honor a group like the Tuskegee Airmen, it's a complete home run. I'm not sure what's taken any time at all. Hey, Mr. Snyder, we have an idea. How about we go the Red Tails, honor the Tuskegee Airmen. Boom, done. Let's print T-shirts. Get it going. Get the merchandise out there.